time is short. Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai, Harinam Sankirtan Yagya Kri Jai. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. Everyone. There's no other means for attaining perfection in this age than to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. With that said, we are chanting the holy name of the Lord, and with taste and pleasure, with excitement, with a desire to chant. We have come, we have braved the snow, we have come from distance, and we are here because of desire, because of excitement, because we wished to be there. So this chanting is like that. It captures a person. It's not that the chanting is something, a process that must be followed with great austerity and difficulty, and then hoping that at the end one day there will be some taste. No taste is there. Especially in kirtan. Because in kirtan we are together, just like that story of our Vishnujan, who it is said that a devotee asked Vishnujan, "Why are you always so enthusiastic in kirtan?" And Vishnujan said, "I'm not always enthusiastic in kirtan. But when I start kirtan, people become enthusiastic, and that makes me enthusiastic." So the principle of reciprocation, the principle of chanting together, and the enthusiasm of one person and sparking off enthusiasm in another, and then it just multiplies and just becomes the electrified atmosphere that we have now in Radhadesh, kind of, what can be said. There are other times when we are alone with the holy name, early in the morning, with our japamala, and that's different. At that time, we are thrown back. At that time, thrown back on ourselves. At that time, exposed for who we really are. Then we realize, I have no love at all. Hare Krishna. So, there are different experiences that we have in the chanting. But that there is taste, that is a fact. Because, for one reason, we're still doing it. We're still doing it. We didn't stop. Once started, we carried on, even although sacrifice was involved, but we carried on. Yes. Even if sometimes it was austere, even if these kirtans sometimes are austere, for one reason, for the crowds. I always wondered why I joined a movement that consists of crowds. You know, when I'm in Mayapur, and there are 5,000 Russians all covered in mosquito repellent, it doesn't just repel the mosquitoes, but also Kadambakanana Swami, who kind of feels like it's time to get out of here. But the nature of the Harinam Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that the crowds will increase and increase. It will Even if it made Radhadesh 5 times bigger, it would still be too small. Huh? They've already understood that the big temple they're building in Mayapur, that it will be too small. That's actually the big issue now. Yeah? I've spoken to the planners. That was the first thing they realized. It's too small. Yeah. Yes, what to do? Because this the Sankirtan is such, it spreads from one person to another. Of course, our chanting is different than the chanting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates were chanting, it is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the chapters entitled the Beda Beda Sankirtan. These pastimes are extraordinary because the devotees, they were so absorbed in chanting and so much experiencing the taste of this chanting in different moods and mellows, and they were completely absorbed in it and forgot everything else, and they didn't care. So there was no show. Everyone was simply absorbed in that kirtan. Prem Sankirtan, with Prem. Now, our kirtans are like the echo of that original kirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Maybe not as powerful as the original, but still very powerful, even for us. In the Chaitanya Chandramrita, there is a description from our Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, and he writes, Durdantindriya kalasripa palita prutkatadamstraye. And he says, then Vishvam purna sukayate. He says that the senses are like black snakes which poison fangs that are attacking us constantly. And these snakes, the nature of a snake is that even when there's no provocation, it will bite. It will bite. Just so the senses are like that, always attacking us, again, constantly. But it said that, and it said, then Srila Prabhupada says, the yogis are trying to control their senses. But the devotee doesn't bother with that. The devotee is not focusing on trying to control the senses. The devotee is simply absorbed in engaging his senses in the service of Krishna. And then the poison teeth, the poison teeth of that black serpent, they're broken. They're broken. So in this way, through absorption in service, then automatically the senses will not affect us any longer in a negative way. This Sankirtan, or the word kirtan, or the root kirti, kirti, glorification, glorification of Krishna. And if simply our whole life is kirtan, if our whole life is glorification of Krishna, everything we do is just glorification of Krishna. Not only the singing being kirtan, but our life being sankirtan. Every aspect of it, glorification of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada speaks about a young boy who is very impressed by a particular young girl and who desires to have a more have an extended relationship with that girl, and he wants to buy her a ring, and He's working. He's working, and he spends a whole week's salary on that ring. And Prabhupada says, actually, the whole week he had been thinking about it. The entire week he had, every day he was working and waiting for his paycheck, just waiting till he finally could buy that ring. Said in this way, he worked only for the girl, and he never forgot her for a moment. Every moment he thought, I'm going to buy the ring. In this way, all our activities can become part of that glorification of the Supreme Lord. Everything. Even when we have to earn bread and butter, but that bread and butter will be for the glorification of Krishna. Whether it is like packing it up before we break loose in ecstatic dancing, or whether it is that we are donating our earnings for having a festival for the glorification of Krishna. It's linked. So everything becomes linked, and our whole life becomes dedicated to glorification of Krishna. Just like this building, one can just imagine the man that built this place to enjoy here, for his own enjoyment. My God, what kind of man was that? Right? What kind of mind did he have? What did he think he was going to do here in this castle? And what would he be thinking if he would know what is going on right now in this castle? And we understand that he only built this castle, he only built it for exactly what's going on now, for Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Little did he know. Little did he know how the Lord, within his heart, just took control of him and utilized his pride and false ego to build a big castle in the days when castles were actually no longer being built. This castle is like after the medieval castles, right? So this is a man who wanted to sort of, in a nostalgic mood, right, wanted to have some sort of royalty. And with all his wealth, he built himself this castle. But actually, built it for Sri Sri Radha Gopinath as a temple. Gopinath. So, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath are in control, smiling, and just utilizing even conditioned souls as their instruments. What to speak of the devotees who desire to be used as the instruments of the Lord. And this is how gradually the sadhaka, or the devotee who is engaging in devotional service in practice, is advancing. We are advancing because the service is attracting Krishna. And when the service is attracting Krishna, he out of his mercy, will awaken feelings of attraction for him in our heart. It is said that love of God is a gift of Krishna. It doesn't just come, you can't squeeze it out. It's like, you try and squeeze some love out of your heart, it becomes like, it becomes sahaja kirtan. It becomes the tears are like coming, and it's all just artificial. Because it is Krishna. It is Krishna who will actually capture us. He will capture us. And not only will Krishna capture his devotee, but the devotee will also capture Krishna. It is said, in the Chaitanya Chandramrita of Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati, it is said there that in the stage of bhava, which is a very advanced stage of devotional service, where spontaneous love for Krishna is just bursting out of the heart, It said, in that stage, Krishna is appearing in the meditation of the devotee. So, I like this very much, and I think it's a very significant point, because generally speaking, meditation for us means to somehow or other bring the mind back and focus it on Krishna, right? Attentively. And we try to fix the mind on the holy name. And instead of somewhere all over the universe. And because the speed of mind is described in the Brahma Samhita, and with the speed of mind we can go anywhere very quickly. To remain focused, on Krishna only, sarvai mana Krishna padara vindayo, to fix the mind at the lotus feet of Krishna, comes by engaging all the senses in the service of Krishna. This is actually what Srila Rupa Goswami describes. That is the secret of the nectar of devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The secret is engage all the senses in the service of Krishna. Become a Matpara devotee. It is said Ambarish Maharaj is described as the Matpara devotee, the devotee whose senses, all of them, his sense of hearing was in hearing about the Lord, his legs for moving to the temple, his hands for cleaning the temple of the Lord, his eyes for seeing the Lord, and I guess the tongue for, well, chanting and tasting prasadam, and like that. He engaged all his senses in the service of the Lord, and that is the secret, actually, the simple secret of Krishna consciousness. Because Kirtaniya Sadahari is only possible for one who is more humble than a blade of grass, and for one who is more tolerant than a tree. And probably not so many of us are there yet. Things are agitating us all the time. Sometimes attracting, sometimes repulsive. One of the two. We are drawn to things and we are trying to avoid things in this material world. That is the consciousness of sense enjoyment. Sankalpa vikalpa, accepting, rejecting the functions of the mind. Sankalpa vikalpa. Then we practice devotional service, a sadhana, and within it, moments of inspiration, within it, drops of nectar are there, right? The nectar of devotion describes what is called chaya bhav, and it's a chaya bhav, or the shadow reflection of bhava. The shadow reflection of bhava, it is said that one can get such a shadow reflection, such a momentarily experience of the ecstasy, not as strong as the full ecstasy of the self-realized souls, but a taste, a drop, one can get for a short while. It is said such chaya bhav one can get from the holy dham. Just by being in the holy dham, one can get it. Whoa. Just in the holy dham, there are such drops of chaya bhav available. Or, Srila Rupa Goswami says, chaya bhav can be attained in the association of Vaishnavas who have it, who are in some level of advancement. And in their association, suddenly we also feel very transcendental. Some who have absorption, we also become absorbed in this way. We get our drops. We get our drops. And Krishna is Achyuta, the infallible. And in the Krishna book, in chapter 87, if I remember well, Krishna gives, Srila Prabhupada gives a definition of the name Achyuta, and the name Infallible. And he says Krishna is called infallible because he never fails to notice the smallest service rendered. That's really something, you know, that warms the heart a little bit. Right? Okay, Krishna notices the smallest service. All right, it's not all in vain. Right? That's the point. Whatever our attempts are, it's not all in vain. Krishna notices, and Krishna reciprocates. Now I'm on the nectar of devotion, let me tell the story of Draupadi, which is also there. And it is said that we all remember that Dushasana was trying to pull off Draupadi's sari in the assembly of the Kauravas, and that Krishna supplied unlimited lengths of sari. But what happened first is that Draupadi, first she held on to her sari with two hands, but there was Dushasana, you know, arms like thighs and muscles, kshatriya, you know, like, what could she do against a guy like that? You know, there's no hope, right? No chance to hold on to that sari. So then, right, Draupadi at one point just threw her arms up in the air. Right? Just okay. You know? I mean, while Dushasana is pulling the sari, right? So he's pulling the sari and she just throws her arms up in the air and she just didn't make any endeavor anymore to protect herself on her own strength. And she just called out, "Hey Govinda!" And "Oh, hey Govinda." So when she called out, "Hey Govinda," at that time, Krishna started to supply the extra length of sari. Before, Dushasana was pulling it off. Right? But then he started to supply the extra legs. So, in the nectar devotion, it is described that Krishna is speaking, and Krishna says, whenever I remember how Draupadi, at that moment, called out, "Hey Govinda!" We don't hear anything. Getting better. You've lost your voices yesterday, I think. Anyway, so when Krishna heard that, then Krishna says, "When I remember that she called this out, then at that time, my appreciation for her increases." Now, when I read that, above my head, a light bulb started burning. You know those light bulbs. And one went on. And the reason is this. For years in the Bhagavad Gita, I had looked at the verse, "Neha bikramo nasa sti pratyavayana vichyate svalpamapi asya dharmasya trayate mahatubaya." That there is no loss or diminution in this process. And that whatever you do, and Prabhupada uses the analogy of the spiritual bank balance. This is our spiritual bank balance verse. And whatever service we've done, it goes in that spiritual bank balance. It's not lost. It just stays there. But, you know, my kind of materialistic mind was always thinking, well, bank account and so on. I was thinking, where's the interest? You know. I was thinking, well, where's the interest? So for years, this question puzzled my mind, right? And then I came, you know how the mind is. You have these questions that you never dare to ask anyone, right? And this was one of them. So this was in my mind for many years. And then I came through the nectar devotion, suddenly upon this pastime of Draupadi. And then, you know, yes, there it was. The light bulb started on. I said, "Here it is. Here's the interest. The interest. I found it. Eureka, eureka, eureka. I found it." Right? So I'm going to ask our Manohar, because he's sitting right opposite of me, and he has a lump on the head, and they say people like that, they're often good at mathematics. Manohar, what percentage? What's the percentage of the interest?
Uh,
Tough, huh? Okay. Anyone can help him. Yeah, 100. Why? Krishna, she says, yes, 100%, because Krishna sees every single moment and he gives as much as he can. Yes, and it says, Krishna said, whenever I remember. And Krishna is not known to be forgetful. He's not known to be forgetful. He never forgets. He remembers everything. That's also mentioned. Therefore, Krishna doesn't forget. Whenever he remembers, it is his appreciation is increasing. So this is Krishna's reciprocation for devotional service. He notices the tiniest little bit of service, and his whenever he remembers, his appreciation is increasing and increasing. So, you know, it was already warming the heart when I heard Achyuta. By now my heart is really warming up. And in this way, Krishna is actively encouraging us throughout the entire process. And that's very nice. Then when the devotee starts to get more and more mercy from Krishna, he develops more and more taste in devotional service. When the devotee begins to understand that the secret for developing taste is service to the Vaishnavas, Sushushu Sadadana Shavasudhi Viktari Chi San Mahatsevyapi Viprapunya Tirtani Sevyat. To get Vasudev Kata Ruchi, or taste for hearing about Vasudev, one must serve the Vaishnavas. So when the devotee becomes the servant of the Vaishnava, the property of the Vaishnavas, dedicates his life to serving the Vaishnavas, especially the great Acharyas, then such a devotee becomes advanced. Then when one faithfully takes up this process of always glorifying Krishna, at one stage one may come to bhava. And then in bhava, no longer do we have to fix the mind on Krishna, but Krishna actually appears in the meditation of the devotee. He's present. And then we find in remembrance of our acharyas, descriptions thereof. Like, for example, in the Bhakti Ratnakara, there are many stories about the Goswamis and how Krishna appeared in their lives. Sanatana Goswami, well, Rupa Goswami was writing this particular passage about Radharani, and he compared her hair to a black snake. So, you know, and then he gave the manuscript to Sanatana Goswami sort of in the middle of the day, and Rupa Goswami went for his bath. And then Sanatana Goswami was looking at the manuscript, and when he read through it and he saw that Radharani's hair, a black snake, he said, that's not appropriate. That's not right. That cannot be. I have to speak to him about that. Anyway, he put it aside and he was sitting in a particular place on Radhakund, chanting. And then just on the other side of the kund, he saw these young girls playing. And suddenly he saw a black snake on the back of one, and he called out, "Black snake!" So all the girls, big consternation, where, what, you know. And then he ran in that direction and said, "On her back, look." And all the girls said, "Ah, that's her hair." You know, and then the girls disappeared from his sight. So later, when Rupa Goswami came back from his bath, and he said, "How did you like my writing?" Sanatana Goswami said, "Very much, especially that part about the black snake." In this way, our acharyas were not just trying to remember Krishna. They were not just trying to force their mind. They were not just trying to squeeze some love out of their stone-like hearts. Krishna was so attracted to them that Krishna appeared in their meditation. And this is the nature of devotional service. It is Sri Krishna Akarsani. Even the smallest devotional service attracts Krishna. Some mercy. Bigger devotional service, bigger mercy. Still more devotional service, more mercy. Like wholehearted devotional service, Krishna starts to now flood with mercy. Right? So in this way, we are again and again appearing here. And then we see eagerness in devotees, which we should not underestimate. Like, you know, yesterday, just one tune, only one tune, I remembered in the evening. Right? That was still playing in my head. Was Yadubar's tune. All the other tunes, sort of super good tunes, you know. But only one tune stayed in my head. Yadubar's tune. So much eagerness, you know. So much eagerness to come there and chant. Boy, he was in bad shape, wasn't he? He's not in good shape on his crutches, on a crutch. And sort of, yeah, elderly, weak, but such a desire, right? Yes, I was thinking about that. So like this eagerness is actually where, what Krishna is seeing. He sees the eagerness, tatra lulyam api mulyam ekalam. It is the root. The root for attracting that mercy of Krishna, our eagerness to serve. Not our eagerness to have bhava, not our eagerness to see Krishna, I want to see Krishna. No, our eagerness to serve. Our eagerness to serve. So yes, if we simply chant in that mood of being Krishna's servant, Krishna, my whole life, all my energy is for your glorification. And everything I do for that. And if one spends a life like that, Krishna will just shower us with mercy. And then, before I ask for questions, I kind of end with that example that Prabhupada gave. Krishna has 10 arms, he said. Krishna has 10 arms. He said, if you hold on to your material attachments, right, how can you stop him? Right? You have it on the one arm and you try to block him with the other arm. He has 10 arms. He gets around you, on top of you, everywhere, and he's got it out of your hand in no time. Right? So whatever Krishna wants to take from us, there's nothing we can do. Therefore, let go. Let go. And then, when we let go of all our false possessions, our false pride, our false hopes, our small, petty, little things that are so important to us, if we let go, then Krishna has 10 arms. Then Krishna will give, and when he starts giving with 10 arms, he gives more than we can hold. More than we can hold. Krishna gives beyond our dreams. In the material world, you know, I don't know if you also experience that, but anyway, my father, I would every birthday make my list, you know, all the gifts, and I was quite specific about it. I wrote down what I wanted, you know, brand number and serial number and everything, you know what I mean? I mean, it was all on there, you know, everything. And then what my father did, you know, he would give me a gift, same brand, but a cheaper serial number. Ooh, that's worse than not getting it at all, you know. That's really bad. So that's the material world, though. You know, that sort of stands for me as a memory. That memory is like an archetype. It's become now an archetype of the material world, you know, like, your dream is this big, and reality is always smaller. You know? Oh, dear. But in the spiritual world, it is rather the opposite. The spiritual experience exceeds our wildest dreams. So, you know, everyone has his wildest dreams, and actually, The spiritual experience exceeds our wildest dreams, and therefore let us immerse ourselves once again in this, in a mood of service, in a mood of glorifying Krishna, and spreading the glories of Krishna throughout the entire universe. Vishvam Purnam Sukhayate, then the whole universe will emerge in happiness. Use up the time. Yes, question. You're confused totally. By what I said. It was a successful class then. You read the book Follow the Angels. In the book it is explained that we're so small and our only task is to be very humble. Percentages. I see. Okay, I can see where you're coming from. There's only 2 minutes left before Manaha will pull me off the Vyasasan. So, can I answer? I think I got it. The percentages. I got it. No fruitive intent. Yeah. So she's saying, I spoke about percentages and so on, and the fruitive intent. I've been exposed. She's exposed me here in front of all of you as like one of fruitive intent. Just see. I'm always thinking of percentages. It's not that we are meditating on the percentages. But, you know, a metaphor, right, is a metaphor is a comparison, an analogy. It's like we compare the spiritual reality to the material world. And a metaphor, there are two types of metaphors I've learned from an academic. Yeah. There are decorative metaphors that are just like, you know, beautifying, and then there are cognitive metaphors. Cognitive metaphors are analogies that have meaning. And, you know, they are not just decoration, they have meaning. So when we say a spiritual bank account, then the metaphor becomes more rich if you can apply it in many steps. Just listen for a sec. So, therefore, when we are applying the interest percentage, we're not applying that out of a spirit of fruitive result, fruitive intention, no. We're just applying that to in a spirit of exploring the amazing wonder of Krishna, even although, as it says in Follow the Angels, we are so small and we are so insignificant. But we are exploring the amazing nature of Krishna's mercy. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Daya Karaha Vichar Vichara Karita Chitta Pabacha Matkar. If you are... This is what they do at 8:45, they turn off the microphone. it's exactly 8:45. So then they say, if you are indeed interested in logic, an argument, then apply it to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because if you do it, your heart will become flooded with feelings of amazement. And that is why I became greedy when I spoke about the spiritual bank account and the spiritual wealth. Because I'm greedy to know more about the amazing mercy of Krishna or Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.